Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Busy hour on tap coming up in 15. Super Bowl numbers from over the years. A lot of things pointing towards New England. Greg Peterson from VSiN on the show coming up in 30 minutes. We'll talk some college basketball tonight's card. Maybe take a peek at some of the big matchups on tomorrow's slate as well. Paulie, this is a potential bad beat candidate of the year I'm going to throw at you. Got this from VSiN listener David, who is a diehard Oklahoma City fan. And he has a win total bet on the Thunder. 62.5 was the number. He bet it in late September. 62.5. I thought they were much higher than that. But he showed me the ticket. 62.5 from late September. They started 24-1. Right now, they are 38-11. So they've played 49 games. They have 33 left. They can only lose 8 more games. They have to finish at least 25-8 for him to go over that win total. If they lose 9 games or more, the ticket's dead. And the way that they're playing right now and the funk that they've been in now for what seems like a month plus all of the injuries, and there's also this, they have a brutal schedule to close the season, the second hardest in the league. For example, they have the Nuggets 4 more times.
Denver has the most difficult schedule, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have the Pistons, Celtics.
So they didn't play Denver with the Joker. Take advantage of that.
Nope.
Wow.
And they have the Pistons, Celtics, Knicks 2 times each, Spurs and Rockets among the tough teams remaining on the schedule.
They got routed at home by Charlotte.
I know.
I mean, you can't look at the schedule and just play the W game and go down the list. So that's a great observation. And thank you to the listener as well. Very good.
That file that one away if they don't. Again, 24-1. All that talk, by the way, of, and we had to bring it up because those markets were available. Are they going to win 70-plus? Can they actually break the all-time record of 74? It's like, I think
numerous
they might.
Numerous people will cover the league. I can't see them losing 10 games. Well, I just can't see it, right? And then, you know, that's sports. It's wild. I mean, look what happened with Sinner and the Joker. The other thing is, and I could talk to Rizzo for 3 hours. I mean, he's seen everything. He's a Cleveland institution. But the Cavs are plus 950 to win the division at DraftKings. They have the fifth easiest remaining schedule. So you got the news there. Likely to trade Hunter to the Lakers. Try to get Hachimura. Maybe another trade's going to happen. But also, how shall we say, Hunter is eccentric and maybe not the best locker room guy or the best fit. So put it that way, you get a good player in Hachimura if that goes through and you get rid of Hunter and they're starting to figure it out, and I like them tonight, laying a short number in Phoenix. They're not that far back from Detroit. So number one, you can lock in a profit when we took Detroit plus 450 and come back and play plus the 950, and you got the fifth easiest remaining schedule. So you can attack it that way, too.
Boy, I would honestly say that I've only looked at a couple of books. I think plus 950 has to be about the best number that you can find.
Oh, yeah.
I saw 6-1.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Evan Mobley fan either. That was interesting. He brought that up, how well they're playing with him out, too.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, in today's NBA, can you play two bigs at the same time? And they've been through that, you know, over and over and over again.
Oh, look at this, by the way. So, again, what's this number going to look like coming up, because this game tips at 9 o'clock Eastern. We are 3 hours away from tip time. The Cavaliers, all day long, this number has been shrinking. The Suns have been taking money the entire time. Right now, at circa, the Cavs are down to 1.5. Does it actually hit, like, pick? Because when we popped on the air, it was 3.
On a back-to-back? Even though they had an easy time of it last night?
Well, Suns are really good.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and they're not going anywhere. They're going to be
number one ATS. But like you said yesterday, I had that completely wrong in the Houston game. I thought Houston on a back-to-back would be a negative, and they ran Atlanta out. But some of these back-to-back situations can be wonky.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know. I think I'm going to shop around because I think the Cavaliers did find something a while back, and the fact that they were the worst team ATS to begin the year.
Yeah.
I think like positive regression can certainly be on the way, and I think we're in the middle of that right now. And I think we can also tie that in with a little bit of negative regression coming, and we're in the middle of that with the Detroit Pistons. And so we have those futures on the Pistons to win the division. There is no other team in that division that can win it. It's only, you know, it's down to Detroit and potentially Cleveland. And if you want to lock it in, I think right now is probably the time. I don't think you want to wait any longer. If you want, if you have Pistons in pocket at a nice price, I think right now is probably the time to actually lock him in if you haven't done it already with the Cavaliers.
So does Hunter mope? Or does Hunter try to say, hey, sure, I'm going to play well because I know I could? Or does, is it a negative that he knows he's being dealt? Because he's been on a sick underrun with his props. And if you go to the VSiN.com and the NBA prop analyzer, seven straight unders, rebounds, seven straight under points. And on the flip side, Tyson, seven straight overs, points, rebounds, and assists. And seven straight overs, made threes. Two different ways you can attack it from Cleveland prop perspective. And Mitchell's been hot, too. I would say he's going to mope and continue this this bad trend and more unders here tonight.
I'm looking at the side-by-side right now between these two, between Hachimura and Hunter. Like, career stats, they're pretty close overall. When you look at the whole combined number, they've both been in the league for 7 years. From the floor, Hachimura's better. From three, he's better. From the free throw line, Hunter is better. And Hunter is a little bit better in points per game overall. I honestly think that Hachimura might be an upgrade for the Cavaliers.
I could see
maybe that's a win-win for both teams, which is the rare trade that can actually take place.
Yeah. Luka's going to be in. Two-point move during the break on the Lakers. Lakers up to 10.5 in Washington.
Wow.
229.5 the total. They should be able to eat. Everyone should go off for the Lakers here offensively. Maybe a good game for Ayton here. Maybe he can do something. But that was an embarrassing third quarter when they were out. It's a long road trip, I understand. But they had some good moments in that comeback against Dallas and the comeback against Chicago. But that was just let go of the rope and a blown out in Cleveland. So I think they respond and bury Washington tonight. Washington on a back-to-back and smelling themselves probably after a win.
Two wins. Be Portland.
Two wins.
Have you seen any news yet on Reeves? He was upgraded to questionable earlier.
He's not listed on props yet. We're less than an hour away, so I don't think he's in. But
I think maybe, to your point, they should be able to get what they want. I think maybe team total with the Lakers. I'm not laying 11.5 with the Lakers against anybody. I can't do it because their defense is so bad.
Yeah.
And Washington's actually on the come. They're a better team now than they were at the beginning of the season. They have some, like, Sar.
He's out.
He's out. Okay. Sar, by the way, file this one away. Sar did it again last night. Now, you can't rely on him to score 20 points every game, but he is now showing really strong rebounding ability. And I think if you play the points and rebounds combined, as long as it's below 30, there's a good angle there because he might only get you like last night, what, 14 points? But he went flying over because his rebounds were so strong as well. And that's something that's only going to continue to go up, obviously. And it was probably much shorter earlier in the year, but now he's on a tear and playing the best basketball that he has shown.
Points in the Knicks game? What do you think? 7.5 at home to Portland? Now they've won a couple in a row after they lost 9 of 11. The defense was so bad during that stretch. Talking about moping and gloomy Gus, that's been Towns. It could be a negative as they boo him off the court, and they don't like his performance here in New York. But McBride's sick, but I think the Knicks can get what they want offensively against Portland. 224.5 the total. And Mackinnon's got good numbers like he does every day at VSiN.com. And the dog has been great in the Sacramento-Boston run here with what's happened. So it's a lot of points. No Brown. And Sacramento catching 11.5. Westbrook out, but Mackinnon's got good trends on this game that point to the dog in the Celtic game.
I will point this out about the Blazers-Knicks matchup. VSiN's Zach Cohen, his podcast is called Hardwood Handicappers. He does it every day during the week. He also has daily write-ups on the website, VSiN.com, for his breakdowns. He has pointed out that the Blazers, when they step up in competition and play good teams, that's when you want to be on this team. So they have like a ton of really good wins on the year against solid competition. Again, they were the first team to knock off Oklahoma City this season, gave them their first loss for a long time. But this is a team that, I guess you could say, plays at a level of competition. But against good teams, backing Portland has been a moneymaker this year, and I believe that's been the case for Dallas as well. Dallas did cover the game last night, did not cover, but I would qualify Charlotte as current form that we're talking about. Charlotte is fantastic. They have some of the best numbers in the NBA going back to last month.
You want the Jazz tonight? Nets back-to-back, close game. Showed a lot of heart in the loss of Denver. Porter was great. Now Porter's out. Jazz laying 3.5 at home.
Well, Jazz at home has been like a moneymaker all year long. First quarter over and first half over the total.
Number one over team. That's right for the game, too. Yep, and Clippers 2.5 in Denver. Joker is back. 9-point move on the total now with the news that he's in. And the Clippers were laying 6, now down to 2.5. But Brown's out for Denver as well. Murray's going to give it a go.
Do we think the Clippers should be favored?
No, I can't believe it. I know they're playing well, 9-10, but come on. It's still the supporting cast has been great for the Nuggets. I can't believe they held it down. It's still a big price, but to be only 5 back in the loss column of the division?
If I told you that a healthy Nikola Jokic is only worth 4 points of the point spread at any point this year,
right,
you'd probably laugh me out of the room.
Yeah.
And certainly you would have said he is absolutely worth more than 4 points before the injury happened, or right as the injury was happening. But it's been a month now, and the players played well, but the guy is still the best player in the world.
What's the biggest number you have on the Clippers? Or that you saw? 100?
Oh, they have 60, I think.
Okay, they're down to 13.
To win the division.
6 back. And then I got 80-1 on the Suns. You have 100?
On the Suns, I have 50.
Oh, really?
That I have, yeah. I have in pocket. Okay. I saw 80.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. Now, plus 125. That's going to be a great race, especially if Golden State can do something at the deadline.
A lot of angles are screaming at us to bet on New England. I'll tell you why next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A couple of tweets here for our discussion going back to the NBA previous segment. This is from Parlay. Check that. Colin Murphy. Another look for the Cavs to get the 2 seed at FanDuel right now, plus 550. One game back of Boston and the Knicks tied with the Raptors.
Oh, I love that. That way, you could exact seed. Okay.
And you could scoop the Pistons division bet and that bet as well. That's actually not bad.
That is awesome.
And there's also this, too. The Pistons are, and this ties in the Thunder, how they somehow might not go over their win total now, which was as low as 62.5. They can only have 8 more losses. They're minus $8 right now at DK to have the most regular season wins. The Pistons are 8-1. You might be able to find more than that, double digits, in fact. And don't look now, the Pistons are, despite losing last night, both teams did, they are 4 losses behind Oklahoma City for the most. Now, how much of this regression are we going to get out of the Pistons, though? Or do they just, they're going to win 65 games? Is that them this year? I don't think they're going to win that many.
You have to get the SOS?
I can.
I misspoke earlier, by the way. It's 18-1 on the Suns. But this is...
You are remaining SOS?
It's possible, yeah. Because, I mean, you just the way they're playing right now and to get blasted in Minnesota, to lose to Charlotte and Toronto back-to-back, there's just no sense of urgency, and it seems that they're just going to say, well, let's just flip the switch when we're all healthy and get ready, you know, like when we get ready for the playoffs. Late regular season push, rather.
Right. So... let's see here. The Pistons, middle of the pack.
Okay.
14th easiest. Oklahoma City, second hardest.
Right. So the Cavs are going to make a trade, if not 2. I don't mind that at exact seed.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty decent, actually.
And I don't mind the plus 950 either. They could run down Detroit. Especially if you already have a position on the Pistons as well.
All right. Some Super Bowl numbers here. C. Mackinnon, great numbers as always. VSiN.com is the website. How about this? Over the last 24 years, dogs are 18-6 ATS. That's 75%. And that's also 14-4 over the last 18 Super Bowls. Dogs of at least 4.5 points. That's the current number on the game. 12-2-2 ATS since Super Bowl 30. And Mike Vrabel, as a dog of at least 3 points, 29-16-2. Strong numbers there. Mackinnon's power ratings, he has his own set. He has something called effective strength power ratings and the bettors ratings as well. All point towards New England as an underpriced underdog in this game. He also points out and he tracks all of the DK betting splits, which you can get at VSiN.com for every game throughout the entire year. And his number one system is fade heavy public sides. And at DK to this point, the public is all over Seattle. If you tease dogs, 6-pointers, last 24 Super Bowls, that side is 21-3, 87.5%. It's the last game of the year. I would say probably teasing that with the total. Some people would tell you don't tease totals, obviously. And this one, I would say probably tease it to the under. 51.5, currently speaking.
I'd be surprised if it's a shootout. Yes.
And New England has not lost by more than a touchdown all season long. They have not been a dog very many times this year because the schedule was so easy. But Rizzo was on earlier, Tony Rizzo, and he was making the case, like basically one of the first people we've heard anyway say that he likes New England. Maybe with the points, because it's going to be a close game, can win it outright. We kicked this around, the ultimate kiss of death earlier. Every single person currently on ESPN.com with a story that they linked up, every person there is on Seattle to win. Every single person at The Athletic picks Seattle. Every single person at USA Today picks Seattle.
Oh, how can that be?
With a 4.5-point spread. Upsets never happen. I don't remember what it was like last year with the predictions for the Chiefs and the Eagles. I think that had to be split. Because it was a much closer game, and the Eagles were.
It got me too. Awesome. I mean, still, they can't go against Mahomes in a big game, crap. So, yeah. But that's astonishing. That not one person picked the Patriots, and it's a 17-3, and it's a low point spread. Right. I can't get over the team with the better winning percentage thing. That blows my mind. The team with the better winning percentage in the Super Bowl is on a 1-17 ATS run. Like, how can that be? So that points to Seattle.
Yeah, because New England played, they have one more win,
They have one more win, yeah.
Okay. Played another game in the playoffs.
Then you got the New England when they wear white. You got the seed thing. So there's, any trend can you find to put you on the game. But
I was already having conversations today, by the way, off the air, about looking at teams next year to win the Super Bowl. I like to do it. I've had a couple of really good teams the last 2 years. Unfortunately, they did not win either time. Last year, Lions. This year, Rams. So it's a good feeling throughout the regular season until the injury set in or the team starts to regress a little bit. But looking at teams based on their opponents for next year and gambling on these teams to win the Super Bowl a year out is obviously you're going to tie up your money for a long time. And also, you don't know the schedule overall. So it adds another layer to the gamble. But numbers can also disappear after the draft, free agency, schedule, all that kind of stuff. But you got to, part of the whole thing is like trying to look at the teams on the schedule that are going to regress and come back to the pack. And so it's a fun bet. I like betting futures, and I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. I don't know if I have a team for next year at this point, but already looking ahead to a couple of possibilities and having discussions about it. So maybe I'll have a team like in the next month or so that we're going to fire on. We'll see. I like to usually bet the NFC teams. Because, in theory, you're going to avoid Mahomes, Jackson, and Allen. But I had nothing this year on the Patriots under that theory because, despite having the easy schedule, I just figured that one of those quarterbacks would probably win it and represent the Super Bowl yet again. So,
both teams, 33-yard field goal, $1.20. Shortest touchdown, 1.5 yards, under minus 140. Both teams to complete their first pass, both quarterbacks, even money, no. And we know what Kramer, he likes the no or incomplete on the first pass, 2-1.
Bets him on both guys.
Yep.
Again, that's been an Andy Isco special. Longtime Las Vegas bettor.
Yeah, it didn't work out last year, but still like that. Both teams to attempt a two-point conversion plus 450. Both to convert 11-1. And I don't mind. I don't mind quarterback to have a reception. I think McDaniels is going to do something here. Maybe a little gadget play.
Well, how about
if something can happen?
How about more than 2.5 players that throw a pass?
That's even better too. Quarterback to have a reception plus 750. Darnold's 14-1. Maybe Kubiak does something too. But in even watching that game last night from New England and Seattle, the unbelievable Super Bowl with the Butler pick, there was a lot of creativity in what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how good Amendola was. I mean, Edelman was a stud, no doubt.
Oh,
but
for
have
sure.
a guy like Amendola out there. And that's when they did the trick play where he threw it to Brady but just missed him. Brady should have caught it anyways. But they did that in the Atlanta Super Bowl too.
I like the one over at the Westgate. Will the score of this game be the same exact score of a previous Super Bowl?
Yeah. Even the half too?
I didn't
14-14 halftimes, 90-1 at Westgate.
Well, the same as the first game?
Yes.
Okay. I just like, will this one have a final score that's the same of a previous? And they're offering, I think it was, 3 or 4-1? That's a creative prop. I mean, can it land on like 23-20? Sure, why not? That was the Bengals-Rams game, at least. I mean, I don't have...
Scorigami?
Well, then I would not... Then I would certainly would not like that bet.
Scorigami 22-1?
The Scorigami is... Last year was a funky score,
because
it got so far out of hand, but you need like a 25-18 kind of score, a 25-11.
I could see a lot of field goals in this game.
Could you see...
I could.
How about this? You're expecting nothing to happen, or you're wanting nothing to happen in this game. Low scoring. There is, multiple books have this up, no touchdown in the first half is 10-1. Can we get
that's short.
Well, because I think we're going to all bet like the no score first 5.5,
mm-hmm.
6.5, 7.5. I think there's going to be a scoreless quarter. That, I think, is probably worth a bet anyway based on the number. And if we can get a scoreless first quarter... I'd like a little bit more on 10-1, but I think there's a path to where they're like the score is 6-3 at halftime. I would not be surprised if this one goes down the same path of the Rams-Patriots game from a handful of years ago, where absolutely nothing happened, and the Rams scored.
And everyone's pissed off, and okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also had a total in the mid-50s.
That was crazy. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
It was a bad football game.
It looked like no touchdown was going to be scored, period.
I know. And the price on that must have been.
And hello, Belichick undressed McVay in that game. Coaching clinic.
Yeah. The Rams offense that year was humming on all cylinders. And Belichick's like, the non-Hall of Famer Bill Belichick, by the way, put together a game plan where that Rams team scored 3 points. You bet. All right. Huge game tipping off at 8:00 Eastern. Big Ten. Spartans host second-ranked Michigan. Michigan hasn't covered a game in 7 straight. Does that continue, or do they pop out of it tonight? We'll ask Greg Peterson next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
College basketball here. We go out to the Progressive guest line. Greg Peterson joins the program, daily write-ups at vsin.com, also the host of VSIN Coast to Coast Hoops. G-Unit, let's begin with this. IUPUI Indy is beginning their game in like a couple of minutes, so people can still get down on this bet. The total has dropped big time from like 185.5 down to 153 as we speak. What do you make of the total?
I've set the total in the mid-160s, so I'm in on the over. I think that this is a reaction to what we saw the first time around when Youngstown State, they really were the team that discovered the blueprint on IU Indy. They held them to fewer than 60 points, and I think that IU Indy is going to be able to make some adjustments, and after they were unable to get anything going against Robert Morris, I think that this is the type of game where IU Indy, they're going to look to reestablish their style. They're going to show that they are a full-pressure team that is going to just make life miserable for you, and they're going to make it a track meet. Do I think that they're going to be the most successful at it? No, because this is a team that they really gamble for turnovers, but that said, with this total going down as low as it does, and IU Indy, they certainly have been slowed down here in rising league play, but Even with that, they're 11th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. You've got a young sound state team that does a great job on grabbing second and third chances on the offensive glass. I do think that you get a much higher scoring game than we saw the first time around. So I like that 153 to the over.
What did you make? A huge game tonight in the Big Ten. Can't wait to watch this one. I don't know if I'm going to bet it yet, though. I would lean Michigan State, but I also think it might be a good in-play betting game, unless Sparty jumps on them and they never trail and they go coast to coast or wire to wire. Everybody on the picks page right now is on Michigan State at VSiN.com the way it looks. What'd you make the number, and what do you think of the game?
I personally took a shot on Michigan State on the money line. I made them the 1.5-point favorite, and I like this total under. Like, this was a total that was right around my number. I set the number at a 147.5, but Michigan State, you take a look at the sorts of teams that they've been able to slow down this year. Really, only Cornell has been able to get a good offensive performance against them. Number is a little bit warped in terms of recent defense because they played that overtime game against Rutgers, but they held down Arkansas, one of the most prolific offenses in all of college basketball, to fewer than 70. They were able to slow down Duke, and Michigan just has not been themselves here in the month of January. You mentioned it. They've failed to cover either their last six or their last seven games. They're really rock solid down low. And I mean, if you wanted a bad beat with regards to a total, if you watch that Michigan versus Nebraska game a few nights ago, 98 points in the first half, half of that, 49 in the second. And I was one of those schmucks that was on the over. So I was a little bit salty about that one. But I think that Michigan State is going to be able to control this game. And I do think that it's a little bit correlated. If you like the under, you probably like Michigan State. If you like the over, you probably like Michigan. But I just think that that style, being out there at the Breslin Center, I like Michigan State to be able to get the job done outright on the money line.
I like the St. Louis team, 20-1 on the season, only lost by 1 point off a scare in the last game against George Washington. They won by three. They're 9.5 against Dayton in 90 minutes, 152.5. What say you?
Anything of single digits, I was willing to lay with St. Louis. 9.5 is pretty much my max, but the St. Louis team is just so well-rounded. And when you think of St. Louis, you think of Robbie Avila, but it's really a whole is greater than the sum of its parts team. You've got essentially seven different guys that give you at least 8 points per game. Like, they're getting it from everyone out there on the floor. They're a top 30 team in terms of rebound percentage, top 30 team in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per possession basis. And Dayton just does not guard the 3-point line. They're outside the top 250 in terms of opponents' 3-point shooting percentage. That Josh Shirt style is really to go out there, bomb it from three. This total has dipped all the way down to a 153. So I like that over because I do think that St. Louis is going to be able to get really good looks from 3-point. And I do think that Dayton is going to be able to generate a few turnovers, be able to get some fast break buckets, but they dealt with an injury to their 7-footer Emile Letang. Even when he's been out there, he hasn't necessarily been 100%. So I think that St. Louis is going to be able to get it done by double figures. I'm going to lay the number.
How about the team out here locally? What a weird year for Josh Pastner, first season as UNLV's head coach. For example, they go to Utah State, monstrous dogs. They win it outright. Earlier this week, at home against New Mexico, absolutely waxed off the court at the Thomas & Mack. And now tonight, they're up in Reno taking on Nevada, and the Rebels are catching 8 points here. Is it going to get messy again tonight for the Running Rebels?
And if I'm not mistaken, this is the Nevada Day game as well for all of us out here in the lovely state. And I think it's going to get messy once again. I really like the way that Nevada does the little things. They're 17th in the country in 3-point shooting percentage, but they're also 17th in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis. So they maximize their possessions. They're pretty good in terms of being able to control the offensive and defensive glass as well. And for UNLV, they just have not been able to shoot it from three, and they're looking to go bombs away from three. They haven't had Miles Shea, one of their big transfers, in all season long. He was supposed to be a double-figure scorer coming over from UC Irvine. It's really been a mess of a year in terms of the injuries for UNLV, so that's left them short-handed down low. It is a Nevada team that is relatively slow. They're outside the top 250 in terms of total possessions per game, but UNLV, for some reason, even with all the injuries, they've really looked to push tempo. They're hovering around 49th, 50th in terms of total possessions per game, not doing a great job in terms of their 2-point or 3-point shooting percentage. I think that with the way that Nevada does a nice job keeping things clean, that they're going to be able to do enough for the total. So I'm in on the over. And personally, I felt like Nevada should have been closer to a 10-point favorite. So I laid it with Nevada.
32-1 still in play here for Gonzaga as they enter March Madness. Top 10 team, only loss against Michigan. The showdown at home tomorrow against St. Mary's. Zags laying 10. And what do you think of this one? And also, you have an opinion on the total.
I do like the under, because if you just look year in and year out, it doesn't matter what form of St. Mary's you've got. It doesn't matter what form of Gonzaga they've got. Randy Bennett is the one man that knows how to slow down Gonzaga. And this year, unlike most years, Gonzaga's defense is actually more efficient than their offense. If you look at Gonzaga at home, they're a top two team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Now, they should be getting Graham Ike back. You want to be monitoring that, but he should be good to go. But even if you have Graham Ike back, he's been missing the last few games. He's probably not going to be 100%. They're certainly going to be without Braden Huff, another one of their top two scorers as well. So this is a wounded Gonzaga team that we saw them life or death a few nights ago in that game against San Francisco. A San Francisco team that has been a little bit wobbly this year as well. They got blown out in the second half against Santa Clara a few days ago themselves. St. Mary's, they always do a great job on the glass. Top 10 team in terms of rebound percentage. I like what Mikey Lewis and Joshua Dent are able to provide with regards to perimeter shooting as well. So, I mean, I saw this total open up at a 148. It's diving down as we're doing this, but anything above a 144, I'm in on the under. And I said St. Mary's is a 7.5-point favorite. So being able to get double figures, I'm in on those points.
All right. How about BYU and Kansas? Kansas 4.5, 156.5 the total, 430 Eastern tomorrow.
I'm going to be taking the points with BYU. They had a very lackadaisical first half against Arizona. As a matter of fact, they got down 19 points. They tried to make a bonsai charge to be able to get that win and very nearly pulled it out. They got a little bit of help from the refs there late, but I do think that BYU is going to be able to hold in this game because it's a Kansas offense that hasn't necessarily been what you'd expect a Kansas offense to be. They're overall 77th of the country in terms of points per possession. Good news is Darren Peterson should be good to go in this game. He's been dealing with injuries. He's been in and out of the lineup. Should be good to go here. But still, for Kansas, their strength is their defense. They've been a top 25 team in terms of points allowed per possession at home. Flory Badunga down low has been really good in terms of shot blocking. But then you look at the flip side for BYU. Really efficient team on both ends. Top 30 team in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per possession basis. That defense has been able to travel relatively well. They're a good team on the glass. I think that they're going to be able to hold in there in this game. So with BYU, I don't necessarily want the money line. And whether or not I was going to make Kansas a favorite or the underdog, depended on Peterson, with him being able to play in this game, I certainly don't want the money line here with BYU anymore. But being able to get 4 to 4.5, I'm in on those points with BYU. And Kansas has been really good to the under. I'm going to be taking that under too.
Fair enough. Greg Peterson, our guest, his podcast here at VSiN is called Coast to Coast Hoops. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. How do you think Georgia responds? They're at home tomorrow against Texas A&M. What a weird finish the other night in overtime to Tennessee. The kid, they're down by 3, and he goes in for a layup pretty much at the buzz.
Oh,
Did you see that? Like, oh, man, the awareness there, buddy. You got to take a 3. So what do you make of that matchup tomorrow?
And I don't know about you, but I grew up with a lot of announcers that always said, oh, you don't need a 3 in very obvious situations where you need a 3. And I think that that might be seeping into the minds of some of these kids because, man, that was rough to say the least. And I've seen a lot of those this year as well, where guys are going for layups when they're down like 6 points with 10 seconds remaining. It's like, what are you doing, buddy? But that said, with this game, I actually like the under. For Georgia and Texas A&M, they're two of the fastest teams in all of college basketball. And depending upon what day you look, Georgia's either number one or number two in terms of total possessions per game. But here's the strength of both of these teams: generating turnovers. Both of these teams, top 40 teams in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis. And with Georgia, they've been a bit of a wobbly team from three-point range. They only shoot about 32.5% as a collective. That's been starting to iron out a little bit. And Texas A&M, they've been a team that's been hit or miss with regards to their three-point shooting defense as well. So I think that that's an interesting case study. That said, with this Georgia team, I do like the way that they've been able to defend down low. It's been a nice run for Texas A&M as they're actually leading the SEC right now. I think that that goes under the radar, but I do like this game under. I do think that Georgia is going to be able to respond well. I've seen them right around 3.5 to 4. Really wouldn't want to go past the 4.5, but 4.5 or less, I'm going to lay with Georgia.
You can follow Greg on X. He is at GUnit_81. Daily write-ups in college basketball throughout the entire season at VSiN.com. And his podcast is called Coast to Coast Hoops right here at VSiN. Thanks, Greg. Good luck tonight and this weekend.
Always appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
There you go.
Thank
he
you.
Was on the Progressive Guest Line as well. What are your early thoughts on Kansas 4.5?
I like Kansas.
That's going to be, I can't wait to watch that game.
Yeah.
I love the conference. Big 12 is, the matchups we're going to get in February alone, clear your schedule, set the calendar to, as a reminder to watch them. Up next, In Pocket Plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
was on coke, if his girlfriend was not tough.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's children on these games.
I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
Good schedule this week in hoops, college and pro. And a great doubleheader in the NBA Sunday. Lakers are in the Garden, OKC in Denver. I like Kansas 4.5 at home against BYU. Concerns about BYU's defense and also routed at Texas Tech. And they've now lost 2 of 3. I think Kansas gets the win. Mac Collins, they have 25 yards. Shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards. Both teams kick a 33-yard field goal. Over 7.5 players to have a rush attempt. Walker, Alani, Shahid, Barner, Darnold, May, Henderson, Stevenson. Bang! Here we go. I think we'll get that one, too. That's the new. Good luck.
Okay.
Why does this keep moving? What is going on here?
As I said, I think, to begin the show today, we're just going to get cooked on this prop, aren't we?
No, we're not. He's going to have a catch.
They're begging us to bet more on it. So they BetMGM and other books moved it down to Travion Henderson, 0.5 yard. I have like 6 bets on him now. And so he, at the end of the day, he'll have 0 catches for 0 yards.
He will have a catch.
So I'm on over 0.5 yard. It makes no sense. Win total, Bucks under 30.5.
Boy, oh boy, that's
minus
good.
Minus 106.
That is good. That makes a lot of sense.
They got to win 13 more games.
Yep.
I did bite. Books are moving towards Michigan. They're laying 2.5 now.
That's a great stat from Evan Abrams. Izzo, when he's in the ranked in the top 15, has been a home dog 3 times. It's the 3rd time.
You're
kidding.
That's
crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's also his birthday today, I believe.
Yeah.
So you get the Izzo birthday performance tonight. By the way, there is this angle.
You're right. Michigan, 0-7 ATS run.
Yeah, they're trending in the wrong way. I get it. Sparty had a bad game against Rutgers. They should have lost that game. Did anybody ever, I haven't heard one person say, was that a look-ahead game?
Good point.
Or do those not exist anymore? I'm just throwing it out there.
It's hard to win on the road.
And now they're catching 2.5 at home tonight, minus 115. I'm going to bite. Hook, line, and sinker. You got me. So those are the 3 new plays here.
Jaguars are up 5 on Youngstown.
Okay.
9 minutes in. Get ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber and bet smarter all year long. With full access, every best bet, every host, every guest, the betting guide drops Tuesday. March Madness right around the corner. AI-powered prop tools, Mackinon's trends every single day. Cohen with tennis and hoops. Nigel Seeley with tennis and soccer. It's phenomenal. The content off the charts. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM. Save now. Code FTM. VSiN.com/subscribe. How about the Philly angle? Would you get some love for the Sixers?
Oh, we did. Somebody reached out and they said, how come no talk about Philly? They were actually 11-1 on the screen, and I think we ran out of time in the segment.
Well, it's Embiid always gets hurt.
Yeah, you can question that for sure. But now that's the big if, right? If the entire roster can stay healthy, that's another team that you got to make the case for to win the East. And also, this is from Colin on X. How about Philly 30-1 on FanDuel for the 2 seed? 3 games back, 10th easiest SOS. Much easier than the 3 games in front of them, not including Cleveland. 30-1, number 2 seed overall. Embiid and Maxey were phenomenal again last night.
I love that. Exact seed. Boy, that's good.
Yeah. I know that's been kicked around. I know JVT has brought this up before. Others have as well. Like when it comes to awards betting, by the way, we get the awards next Thursday, finally. My God, it's been long enough. But
it's a Thursday night?
Yeah. If you could bet placement markets for awards, like for example, throughout the season, if you could have bet Drake May to finish top 2 or top 3.
Yeah.
Like that would have been a great approach. Same thing with Matthew Stafford, a coach of the year. Any of that stuff, if you could bet, like a golf tournament, will they finish in the top 2, top 3, whatever, and you can kind of name exactly where you think they're going to land anyway. This is from earlier today. So there's this trend where teams wearing white in the Super Bowl have won the game a lot in recent years. And the team this year, New England, 5-0 wearing their white uniforms, and their head coach, Mike Vrabel, was asked about it.
For the home team, we get to choose guys like the white uniforms. So
you're 5-0 with the white uniform. So
okay, there you go.
Is that the
captain? Tooth Fairy comes tonight, too. We'll be real excited.
Smart move, right?
Good. How about Romo saying bad move because of the conditions and the snow to wear the white last week?
Because
did you hear that?
You might not see?
Yeah.
You might not be able to see the other player?
Hard for me to see his teammates. Denver had an advantage. Well, I think he was serious.
Well, when it's coming down that hard, you ever been in a whiteout before?
Damn right.
You can't see anything.
I drove through a blizzard in the Rockies when I moved out here in 2000.
Was it fun?
It was something, man. It was a scene.
We have that in common.
That.
In fact, it's funny. I had the same conversation with my brother. He helped me move out here in 2001, and we stopped in Wyoming. And
you have an option, right? You can go through the Rockies, or you can go,
Yeah.
I said, let's go. Bring it on.
I'm not afraid of this.
Yeah.
We stopped to get gas, and it's all powered. The energy up there is powered by windmills. And so the car's moving around a little bit. You could feel it was a little bit windy. When we opened up the doors that created the crosswind, it almost sucked us out of the car, and everything's flying out. And we could had to fight it, to try to get in the gas station. We finally make it in. And I'm like, whatever. I said, I'll take $40 on pump number 8. And my brother and I were both like, Jesus, it's pretty windy out there, huh? And the cash, she's like, I don't know, is it? I didn't notice. We're like, you didn't notice? It almost sucked us out of the car. And he's like, yeah, we live here. It's like, we don't, you just get used to it at some point?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's 25 years ago. My brother remembers it like it was yesterday. And then we're coming home through Wyoming and northern Utah, and it was 20 miles an hour. That was it. Semis were turned over because it was all black ice. That's an adventure that nobody should go through ever. Well, there is no Pro Football tailgate show on Sunday.
No.
We're off for the first time in 5 months. We will be back Super Bowl Sunday.
Could we have pulled it off? I know you started the first show saying you drop us off in the jungle naked, we'll put on a great show, which is hilarious. Could we have pulled off 3 hours on props? That would have been a tough
one. This Sunday?
You think we could have done 3 hours?
Problem.
Three
no
hours
problem.
On props?
In our sleep.
Oh, really?
Okay. In our sleep. I thought you were going to say, do you think we could pull that off? Dropping us off in the jungle.
Not a problem.
We'd have to have somebody with us because I don't know how to hook up the equipment.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I'm okay with, but the hardcore stuff, I'm not exactly MacGruber over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a big college hoops day tomorrow as well. And you're right. I can't wait to watch the BYU-Kansas game. Texas Tech also, they get Central Florida.
There was a big one Sunday. Nebraska... who plays? Iowa State play, no. Oh, Illinois-Nebraska play Sunday, too.
Oh, that's a damn good game.
Yeah.
Are you there after the game? We talked about it a little bit after the Michigan game. You think Final Four worthy now with Nebraska? It all comes down to the bracket, obviously, that we're looking at. And
yeah, they can make it, I would think. I don't see why not. I'm concerned about they don't get to the free throw line. But... that was a hell of a performance, down a couple guys, the flu, whatever, and you almost beat Michigan. I'd be more concerned about Michigan. That's my takeaway, which I don't expect you to win every game by 30 points.
Sure.
But how they just ran right through the non-conference. And I'm telling you, Gonzaga's going to go 32-1.
If they do that.
They beat them by 40 points.
Let me see here. I got to check right now.
But I know it's hard to win in conference, too, but. Certainly the 0-7 ATS run, the loss to Wisconsin, almost lost to Penn State.
KenPom,
playing with their food against Washington and Oregon.
KenPom has Gonzaga right now a 10 seed. But if they,
I'm
sorry, not a 10 seed, 10th overall.
Yeah.
My bad. I stand corrected. KenPom has Gonzaga 10th overall in the country with a net rating of plus 29.05. If they go 32-1, the committee will look at them how? Because of that one loss to Michigan, and it was by 40 points. If they run through their conference, only have one loss, and that's it, are they a lock for a one seed?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're going to have so much stiff competition though in front of them, or right there with them in the same group, I would think. We're talking about Arizona.
Give me the non-con.
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Oh, they beat Kentucky by 40, but yeah. Kentucky stinks. They beat Oklahoma. They killed Creighton. They beat Arizona State. Beat Alabama by 10. Beat Maryland by 40. Yeah. They're no good. They beat UCLA by 10.
They're one of the big boys.
Okay.
That's got to be a once. 32-1.
Stay tuned. Prime time next. Matt Eumanns, Will Hill. They'll take you through the live betting night coming up tonight. And best of luck with your bets. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.